place and different time. I'm the Lord. Yeah. And it's in one that's far better than me. It's one that's far better than any book that could ever be written, because this is the greatest book that's ever been written. But do remember her and remember me. I thank God for what he's done for me. And I've texted several that this week. That, boy, this week's been a rough one on me. And the devil sure has been a fighting real big. But guess what? When he fights real big and real hard, I'm expecting our God to do great things. And so, you know, and that I've been praying and been studying on how in the world that what the Lord's laid on me was going to come out, and this morning sealed the deal for me, because I'm just going to be honest with you, those that were here this morning, I don't even know if this thing's even on, those that were here this morning, I'm just going to be honest with you, you got a prequel of what this is going to be part two. Why? Because it goes right along with it. And so as you got your Bible, I was even going to sing a song tonight, but as you got your Bibles with you, we're going to be over in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, and we're going to do our best to give you what the Lord's give us. And my prayer tonight is that I can just pour out into you what the Lord's poured into me. And as Brother Kevin said, please, for the sake of everything, don't listen to me, just listen to what the Lord's laid in her charge tonight. And I just hope that I'll be a help to you. And if it ain't a help to you, it's sure been a great help to me. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8 reads this. It says, moreover, brethren, we do use, to wit, the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this did they, not as we hope, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Insomuch we desired Titus that he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, to prove the sincerity of your love. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And therein I give my advice. For this is expedient for you who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now, therefore, perform the doing of it, that is there, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. You may be seated. So those that may not know or I like giving a little bit of context in that to this. And as I began to study and began to ponder in that upon this, I thought in that, why in the world was Paul here giving in that the church here at Corinth an example of the church? churches over in Macedonia. And as I began to study, there was three things that really stood out to me, but I'm going to try my best to slow down just a little bit and not quite get in there just yet. So as I began to read and began to ponder, Paul here was giving them a prime example. He was wanting them to look as what we received this morning. And I'm telling you, preacher, you and Josh both was hoeing right next to my row. And so this morning, they was two chairs sitting here, one that was small and one that was large. And Paul here, as he was writing to the church, he wanted the church of Corinth to understand that even though they were in the place that they were in, there was still hope. There was still joy to be had. There was still work to be done. There was still things to accomplish. Why? Because I'll just be honest with you. I ain't heard the trumpet sound yet. They still air in our lungs. They still a beating our heart. Guess what? The Bible tells us over there the fields is riding ready to harvest. But what does it say after that? It says the laborers are few. And so I began to study on this and began to ponder as to why Paul would give this example. And then I got to thinking, boy, that's one thing that that the old devil, and Josh taught a great, wonderful lesson on Satan and his devices and the things that he lies out there for us. I don't know about you, but I'm going to talk about old Jess for just a second. The worst thing, Jordan Potter, that I've got on me sits about 6 inches apart. It sits right inside these old things, and it's that old mind. And it's that old mind. You know why? Because sometimes he'll tell me, hey, you ain't worthy to do what you're doing. You ain't fit to preach the gospel. Why in the world are you even studying that book? You know, there ain't no hope in that for the world. That's at least what the news says. Why in the world are you doing what you're doing? Well, pay attention to your Bibles right here. Verse number 12. We'll start right there. Paul here, you know, and there he says herein in verse number 10, he said, I give my advice. So now Paul here is talking to them. He said, For if there be first a willing mind. Right. A willing mind. So you got to make in your mind, you got to have, what does it mean to be willing? Well, here's the definition. To be able to be determined, to have desires, to be ready, and to be in that going over there, to be in that chosen. Yes. So as in that this morning, you've seen in that the replication, no doubt, they was two.
Yes.
That got a message in that from their father.
Right.
They was two that was told, hey, come up here.
Right.
But they was one that was not.
That's right.
The one that was not. She stood up, and if you didn't see her, she turned around and she looked at her mama. And her mama said, go on. She got permission.
Right.
No doubt, that's right. But you know what? Whenever he said, Callie, somebody from your class, she stood up.
That's right.
She was willing.
That's right.
She had a willing mind. She had a willing. She didn't know what he was going to have her do. But she was willing to sacrifice. She was willing to stand up. She had a will and a want to do whatever the pastor had in store for her. Guess what? If you're going to do anything for the Lord, you first got to be willing. Now, I don't know anybody's heart tonight, but I'll tell you, they've kind of been a reoccurring theme going around here. On Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock, in case you missed it, they've been a great, wonderful, good. I don't care if we stay on them last five verses for another 6 months. You ain't going to hurt my feelings a bit. But he's talked about that old heart. He's talked about the heart. We talked about lowering our own self, so we've talked about the body. Now it's in our mind.
Uh-oh.
And so guess what?
All that works together. Every bit of that works together. But first, he said, we had to have a willing mind. And it says, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to as he hath not. And I'll be honest with you. The Lord brought this back to my remembrance. You go over there to Exodus chapter number 3. And this right here blessed my heart real good. You go over there to Exodus chapter 3, verse number 11 and 12. That's the Lord talking to Moses, telling him to go tell Pharaoh to set my people free. And he said over, well, let's just go over and read it. He said over here in Exodus chapter number 3, verse number 11. It says, and Moses said unto God, who am I? Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Well, guess what? That's old Satan there getting in his mind saying, you can't do it. You can't do it. Why in the world would you be chosen to do a work in that for the Lord God Almighty? But guess what God's response said? And it says in verse number 12, and he said, certainly I will be with thee. So you got to be willing first. You got to be willing. You got to have that willing mind. That willing mind, because you know, the Bible tells us there that Paul says over there, he brought his body into subjection daily. Guess what? Where does that start at? Right here. You got to make a determination. Choose you this day who you're going to serve. And then he said over here, he said in verse number 13, it says, for I may not that other men be eased and ye burdened, but by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, and their abundance may also be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. Guess what? It's important in that for you, and that to pour into every service. Now I know each and every one of us, these times, even in your home life, even in your marriage, even in your children, you can't give them everything. Everybody says marriage is 50-50. That's a lie. It's 100-100. And sometimes it goes further than that. Sometimes my wife's got to give 120 because old Jess can only get to 80. Sometimes Jess may have to give 150 because she can only give 50. But we equal each other out because we're in it together. Amen. That's the same way a church service is. You hear them old timers all the time. They'd say, you'll get in what you put out. Guess what? It don't start whenever you decide to get in a vehicle and head towards church. It don't start whenever you get here. Now, don't raise your hands. Old Jess has been guilty of it. Don't raise your hands. How many of you showed up tonight and hadn't even prayed and was hoping you'd start to get right with the Lord in an altar of prayer, and you see where that got you? Now you're found in want. You're found standing. Why? Because you waited too long. It's time that we get to be willing. And then at verse number 15, it says, as it is written, that he hath gathered much, had nothing over, and he that had gathered little had no lack. We're in this together. You know, it's 100%. We're in this together. And this right here is what blessed me too. And Kevin preached a message one time, the miracles over on 23rd Street. If you've not heard that one, get with him. It's a really good one. But Exodus 17 over there, verses 11 and 12 again, you'll find out that Moses there and them Amalekites, they was in a battle. And Moses, for a long time, as long as he held up his hands, what happened? They prevailed. Israel prevailed, but over time in that church, he began to grow weak. And as he began to grow weak, every time his hands would begin to fall, what would happen? The Amalekites would come through. It's important that we lift each other up. You may say, well, my prayer don't mean much to nobody. Oh, it does. It certainly does. It certainly does. You ought to pray for your Sunday school teachers. You ought to pray for your pastor. You ought to pray for your sister churches. Why? Because several of them have left and that. The only way and that the only book they've left and that the worldly nonsense. And that's what they've went to. They've left and that the one holy, divine, written, inspired by God book and went for something that fits their narrative. But you know what? They don't just start with a willing. Once you get willing, in verse number 19 it says, and not that only, but who was also chosen of the churches to travel with us, with this grace which is administered by us to the glory of the same Lord, and a declaration of your ready mind.
Yes.
So not only do you got to have a willing mind, you got to have a ready mind.
That's right.
What does it mean to be ready? Well, you don't know, but as you've seen this morning here, Davis first had to sit in the little seat. He had to know. He had to listen to the father. He had to listen to his daddy and said exactly where his daddy told him. Why? At the time Davis was sitting down to begin with, there was no bigger option. There was no other option. There was no other way out. But as he sat there, and this morning I ain't re-preaching that message because it was so doggone good. He got to finally, the father brought in something a little bigger, something a little more comfortable for Davis. But in the beginning, he was ready to get out of that seat. And I don't know if you watched him or not, but when old dad told him to get out of the big seat and go back to the little one, what happened? There was a little bit of resistance. He said, are you serious? I'm sure in his mind, and he's here, you can ask him. He said, probably in his mind, Daddy, I'm a little bit too big for that chair. Now you go back and you get the seat in, you listen to this morning's again. A lot of times, we're a little bit too big for that chair.
That's right.
But a lot of times,
preach that, brother.
We see the chair is too big for us.
Uh-oh.
Because of what Satan puts in our mind.
Come on.
We see the chair, we say, Lord, I'm willing, but I just don't think I'm quite ready. Lord, I'm willing, but boy, I don't know if I can go just that far.
That's
just
good.
Yet.
That's good.
I'm willing, but I just ain't quite comfortable. I'm not determined to be ready. And I know that we got some veterans here. It don't happen overnight. You've got to get equipped. You've got to go through some training, for lack of better words. You've got to train a little bit before you feel that like you're ready. But there's times in that when soldiers, before they get shipped off to war, they just ain't quite ready, but there's still a need and a void for them to fill.
Right.
Guess what? There's still a need. There's still labor to be had. There's still a void that needs working. There's still things. Though you may say, well, Lord, I ain't ready. What did he tell Moses? He said, I'll take care of it. The sooner, and this is one thing that the Lord's really worked on me, and Kevin's preached this so many times, the sooner we realize just who we are, just what we are, just how small we really are, Christian, and just how great He is, just how powerful He is, just who He is, and what He's done already in our lives. You know, and I like that verse. I'm going to back up just a little bit if I can find it. In verse number 10, the latter part of verse number 10, it says, but also to be forwarded a year ago.
Right.
No doubt we started a new year 11 days ago. So many times, often folks will make a new year's resolution. Folks will say, I want to start working out. diets begin to get started on January 1st as a new beginning. I'm going to start walking a mile. I'm going to start doing this, or I'm going to start doing that. Oftentimes, Christians will say, well, hey, I'm going to read my Bible a little more every day. They'll start out and they'll say, I'm going to pray every day. Lord, I want to get closer to you this year than I was last year. Well, look back. Did you make that resolution last year and this year? Most folks will probably say yes. But where are you still standing a year later? Where are you still standing? Josh, there was things in my life a year ago that had it not been by the grace of God, it's a far cry better than it ever has been a year later. Because there was a willingness. There was a readiness. But go down to chapter number 9, verse number 2, it says, for I know the forwardness of your mind.
That's right, Jess.
Not only do you got to be willing and be ready, but then you got to start moving forward. You got to start putting forth effort to get to where you were willing to, that for the Father to send you. You've prepared and got ready, but now you got to move forward. And oftentimes, that's where discomfort comes in. That's where this thing that sits between our ears holds us back very tight. Because you know what to do. You know how to do it. You've got a map. You've got everything you need to move forward. But this holds you back. Because the heart tells you that you get in your feelings, and your body says, well, I'm just too tired. We take these things right here, and what do? We surround our life with it. We surround our life by the time. I don't have enough time. What are you filling your time with? Everybody says, well, I got to sleep 8 hours a day. Okay, that's great. But how long has it been since you lost a little bit of sleep? How long has it been since that burden that you've had kept you awake at night? How long has it been that you've said, you know what, I believe I'll just go into work late this morning, me and the Lord's meeting, and we'll just be all right. But we're not willing to go forward. Now, a lot of times people say, well, Jesse, you've talked about having a willing mind, a ready mind, and a forward mind. Well, guess what? You can't go forward if you ain't willing. You can't go forward if you ain't ready. You ain't ready if you ain't willing. And they all three go together. You want a three-step process, that's it. You get willing. The Lord will get you ready, and He will move you forward if you allow Him to. But oftentimes, our mind is what holds us back. And then I Googled. Everybody's got Google. And if these old contacts work, I'm going to read you just a few things that Google says about the mind. And yes, it is on a sticky note.
Read it, brother.
The human mind is a complex seat of consciousness, thoughts, feelings, perceptions, and memory. Well, I don't know about you, but several folks tend to have their consciousness seared with a hot iron. Their thoughts are not in the right place. They're too caught up in their feelings. Their perception of themselves is not a Facebook reel. And their memory, Satan tends to use our memory to remind us of our past, when the book tells us that if we repent of that, what happens to our past? He's faithful and just to forgive us. And if we're forgiven, Crescent, if the Lord forgives me, brother, I'm sorry. It don't matter if you do or not.
That's right, preacher.
So oftentimes we're too worried about what out there thinks of us in here, when in reality, out there should know that it's covered by the blood, and they can remember all that they want because it's in the sea of forgetfulness to the one that matters. Now let's go a little bit further here. It says, arising from the physical brain, but encompassing both consciousness, awareness, and unconscious processes. And then it says, the brain processes information that it receives from the senses, body, and sends messages back to the body. You know what that boils down to? You, amen, brother. If you want a healthy relationship, if you want to be willing to get ready to move forward, you're going to have to invest in getting there. Because this only has room to think with what you put in it. So if you're watching filth on the television, if you're around the filth at the workplace and talking right there with them, what's going to end up happening? It's all going to be right there. And the Bible says, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So it's all right here. And how do we overcome this? By filling it with this. Through prayer, and one that everybody hates, fasting.
You better believe it. Right, still works.
Now, a lot of people have a misconception of fasting. They say, well, I'm going to lay down. Anybody that knows me, my favorite candy is white Reese's. I will sit down until I'm about to founder and explode on them. Fasting is not saying, hey, I'm going to lay these Reese's down for just a little while. That's a choice. Fasting is the absence of food. You may say, well, Jesse, why in the world does that have to do anything with fasting and prayer and getting closer to God? Because you can look at me and you can tell I don't miss too many meals. But when I do, I deal with this thing called hunger. We have to feed our bodies in order for them to continue going on. And if we're not pouring into our bodies enough calories and fats and proteins and things of that nature to continue to move forward, what happens? The body will eventually start shutting down.
That's right. You're right.
I'm afraid that so many people have quit feeding the inward man.
Yes.
And it has started. And some are on the verge. It's on life support right now of shutting down. It's time, church, to be willing, ready, and move forward.
Amen.
And the only way we can do that is through the help of the Lord. And so whenever we start fasting, the only way, Brother Sexton, I'm going to be honest with you, the only way old Jess can get through without food is praying, Lord, you're going to have to help me. And studying something to take your mind off your belly. So many of us have invested and done things to make sure we fill our bellies, in a sense, to set up our family, to be able, we're like that rich man over there that had plentiful, and he said, tear down the barns and build bigger. Well, bigger ain't always better. Sometimes we get too big for our britches. And in our spiritual life, it ain't we're going to go down to the Walmart and we're going to buy another pair of britches.
No, sir.
Because we want to hide that our own diet is getting way out of hand. It's time that we become willing, become ready, and move forward. I've given you what the Lord's given me. Go ahead, Pastor.